them and how long it took him to complete each book without even looking at them. Brady is a voracious reader. Here, he read 4,076 pages in 6 months at the age of 8, and he can tell you the name of every single chapter in every book from the 7 books. I'm not sure where he gets that from, because even though I had read a ton, I can't tell you the name of the chapter I just read last night. Voracious. It is defined as exceedingly eager or avid, having an insatiable appetite for an activity or pursuit. A voracious reader, a voracious collector, a voracious gardener, a voracious learner of American history, a voracious guitar player. How about you? What are you voracious about? What do you love to do so much that you just can't put it down, you can't stop? What can you wrap your arms around so much that you just can't get enough of? Identify what you love to do and make sure you do more of it. Maybe it's just today, or just this week or month, or for the next 6 months, perhaps even longer. But be voracious. Be fully immersed in an activity that you love to do and that's good for your mind, body, and spirit. Now go do it. Action step. What are you going to be voracious about today? And then carry that voracious spirit and attitude into all you do each and every day. Wow, number 18, Jersey Strong. On October 29th, 2012, Hurricane Sandy ravaged the entire eastern seaboard, and it devastated the Jersey Shore and the place I grew up, Brick, New Jersey. Friends and family lost everything. My sister Judy lost her home. My sister Patty was displaced from her business for months. All in all, over 650,000 people lost homes or were displaced. The hurricane was estimated to cost $75 billion in total damage. I remember when I saw the initial footage of Point Pleasant, Bayhead, Manilocan, and Seaside, where the eye of the storm hit right in the heart of the Hume community where I grew up. My heart sank. I felt so helpless being 3,000 miles away in San Diego. 48 hours passed before I actually talked to three of my sisters who live there because of downed wires, interrupted cell service, and the chaos that followed. I knew it was bad, real bad. My sisters Patty, Mary Beth, and Judy painted a bleak picture of what they had heard and seen. They said it was horrific there, literally like a war zone. When I finally saw a 26-minute aerial video via a helicopter of the entire shore depicting the areas that were most impacted, I just wept. It was devastated. It was wiped out. Lives were lost or impacted forever. I felt the pain that so many people were feeling. And then I thought about the people. Jersey people. They're different. In a good way. They really are. People from New Jersey are damn strong. Extremely strong-willed with a tremendous sense of spirit. Great pride. Hard-working. Go-getters. In New Jersey, it's called Jersey Strong. And that's an attitude of perseverance, one that's predicated to overcome adversity. This attitude could best be summed up by one of my best friends growing up, Bill Kleisler. Bill and I grew up together in Brick. We played Pop Warner football together, and then high school football together, and we have always remained close. Always will. Bill is now the principal at Brick Township High School. Bill shared, "Todd, you don't understand the number of people helping out. It truly is amazing. Not one person is hanging their head and moping around. There's a tremendous spirit going on, and people are just doing whatever it takes. The Brick alumni, the current Brick football team, and countless volunteers are literally going from house to house in Brick and surrounding areas to clean them out. We are pulling out carpet, debris, couches, furniture, and anything left in destruction. We are serving food with FEMA at the Brick Little League field. We are, Bill didn't need to say anything else, Jersey Strong. Tens of thousands of people volunteered their time during that ordeal to help out their brothers and sisters in a very difficult period. And that happened in New Jersey, New York, Long Island, Staten Island, and up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Hey, we are all going to weather major storms in our life. There is tragedy. There are natural disasters, disease, and sometimes life shortchanges you of what you desire or wish. As my pastor Miles McPherson once said, if you are feeling sorry for yourself, just go out and find someone that has it worse off than you, because there is always someone that has it worse than you. In the tough times, clamor together and serve one another. And remember, it's always about the attitude you bring to any calamity that counts. Hang strong, Jersey strong, wherever you live. Now dig down deep. Surround yourself with positive people that understand your fight, and remember to always serve others going through difficult times. Action step. Where do you need to be Jersey strong in your life? What is most challenging you today? What hurricanes are going on in your life that you need to get through by being extremely strong? Jersey strong. Wow, number 19, simplify. I love progress. I love forward motion, and I love what I call moving the needle. Moving the needle means doing those pertinent things in your life you need to do now so you can accomplish what you want to accomplish later. When you think about the term moving the needle, it takes a lot of focus. And when you are focused, doing work that resonates with your soul and living in alignment in all aspects of life, life is often simpler. Not easier, but simpler. Think about that. Simplify. How can you simplify your life, your business? Let's look at a few examples of simplicity in action. Some might say that Washington and Lincoln were simple leaders. But they sure were great leaders. They knew what was really important. Lead by example. Respect all people. Show courage. Align with strong purpose. Overcome adversity. My highly successful high school football coach practiced simplicity. Coach Wolf demanded execution of just a few plays instead of having a playbook of dozens of plays that weren't mastered. He was famous for saying, run it again, over and over again until the same play was perfected. And that led to massive success. You can read more about Coach Wolf in Wow Number 2, Labor. Legendary NFL Green Bay Packers and Hall of Fame football coach Vince Lombardi's sweep right and sweep left were simple and executed precisely, and it led to many championships. John Wooden's full court press was simple in many ways, but it caused mass confusion for UCLA's opponents, and it is one thing that helped UCLA earn 10 NCAA basketball championships. You can read more about Coach Wooden in Wow Number 11, Love. Often the greatest coaches demand executing the simplest strategies. They don't confuse their athletes. The athletes must master the fundamentals and perfect them, and then play to their strengths. How about simplicity in the business aspect? Simplicity says less is more. Simplicity often allows your team to have a sense that there are specific practices and systems that are basic to being successful. A team can gain confidence because of consistency of purpose and familiarity of a method, approach, or culture. Perfect the simplicity, eliminate the unnecessary. Two great examples in the business world of mastering simplicity are Starbucks and Apple. Starbucks is maniacally focused on one cup, one customer, one experience, and they are wildly successful. And Apple Think about how simple an Apple product is, but think about how complex it is. The user experience is simple, easy to navigate, and a 7-year-old can figure out how to use it. But behind the simplicity lies an empire that is so robust and powerful. Ralph Waldo Emerson stated, "To be simple is to be great." Simplify your life today and be maniacally focused on what is most going to help you move your needle. Be simple and be great. Action step. Spend 10 minutes writing down your answers to the following questions. What are the simple things you do on a daily and weekly basis that work for you? How can you simplify your life and business to play at a higher level and be more effective? What are 2 or 3 things that you can remove or eliminate from your life to help you focus on what's going to help you move your needle? Is there a program or product that you are working on that you can make simpler for the end user to enhance the experience? And lastly, where should you prioritize your time to focus on improving this area identified in the previous question? And by doing so, you are systemizing that area and in turn simplifying life. Wow, number 20, write. Writing creates clarity, and clarity precedes genius. Robin Sharma. It baffles me how many kids can't write well these days. I'm not sure if it's because of the texting age we live in or the lack of focus on writing skills in our schools, but I'm always saddened when I see poor writing. On the other hand, it excites me when I read a great book or an application or even an email. For me, I learned to write well in the 7th grade. I was nominated to be a Pop Warner Scholar Athlete. Only 35 middle school kids in all of the U.S. would be selected, and it was based on scholastic achievement, athletic accomplishment in Pop Warner, and the 7 essays each kid had to write. The task was daunting to me. I wasn't much of a writer then. But my dad took me down to the basement where our ping pong table was, laid out all of the questions, and began to teach me how to write on those big yellow legal notepads. He had me flow with the pen. Remember, there were not computers in 1984. It was all handwritten. OMG, I'm dating myself. He had me write stories. He told me to keep my pen flowing and not to stop and think. And he would time me for about 5 minutes and see how much I could get down on paper in that time. He told me you always have to have a great eye-catching opener and a strong finisher. And he told me to write with emotion and soul. Maybe you don't love to write, or maybe you have never worked at it. It's kind of like exercise or a sport. If you want to be good at it, you must work at it. And then when you do, it can be transformational. Your wow is to write. Why is write the wow? Because writing is critical for success. As of the writing of this very wow, I have 2 big writing-related things I'm working on. Number 1, this very book that you now hold in your hands. If it weren't a priority, it would have never gotten done, and you wouldn't be reading or listening to it. Number 2, my annual roadmap and strategic plan. I do this at the beginning of every year and spend between 10 and 20 hours on 50-plus questions that I have created to help me craft my most amazing year. I review it periodically throughout the year as well to make sure I'm on track. And on a daily, weekly, and regular basis, I write the following. Number 1, my W lags each Sunday night. What that stands for is this. W stands for wins, wins from the past week. L stands for losses, losses from the past 7 days. A stands for ahas. What were the aha moments from the past week? The wins, losses, and ahas allow me to reflect on the past week. G stands for goals. What are my top goals for the upcoming week? As a matter of fact, if you would like to see a sample of the W Lags, please go visit my WOW website at www.todderkin.com/wowbook-write. Number two for writing is my 3 and 30. What 3 goals will I accomplish in the next 30 days on my 10 Forms of Wealth wheel? I do this writing once per month. Once again, if you would like to see an example of this, just go to the todderkin.com/wowbookresource and you can see examples of all of my writing. Number 3, my 90-day wonder. Ask yourself these 3 questions and do the exercise every 90 days. Number 1, what have I accomplished in the last 90 days? Number 2, what are my present challenges, obstacles, and issues? And number 3, what will I accomplish in the next 90 days? That's the 90-day wonder. And once again, you can hop over to my WOW website for a sample 90-day wonder. Just visit todderkin.com/wowbook-write, and all of these writing resources are there for you. Please visit them. Number 4, gratitude journal. I do this several times per week. See WOW number 44, gratitude, to learn more about the gratitude journal. Writing takes planning and commitment to sit your booty down and actually write, but you have to do it. And that's what I'm going to encourage you to do this week. Write. Here are some things you can potentially write about. Write an article for your blog or newsletter. Write a love letter. Write a thank you note. Write in your journal. Write a business plan. Write a handwritten note to a teammate. Write out your big 5 for the week. What 5 things must you accomplish this week to make it a winning week? Write a new workout plan. Write your spouse, significant other, or partner a love note. Write the first chapter of your book. Write your next presentation. Write a kick-butt newsletter. Write your eulogy. What would others say about you? Write a tweet or write 10 tweets for the upcoming week. Write a Facebook or Instagram post or schedule it. Write about what you love in life. Commit to writing this week and watch how it transforms your life. I say it all the time. If you want to be an expert and expand your brand, write more and speak more. If you want to unleash your spirit and soul, write more. I hope you realize that with consistent practice, writing will become easier and almost cathartic. And when it does, write me a letter and thank me. I'm just paying forward what my dad taught me. So get after it and start writing. Action step, sit your tail down and write for 20 minutes on any of the above topics or on anything that moves your spirit. You can write it old school, in a journal, or on a yellow legal pad, or you can create a blog and get your thoughts into the blogosphere. The idea, though, is to let yourself flow and get your ideas down in writing. WOW number 21, LT. LaDainian Tomlinson was one of the best running backs to ever play in the NFL, and I had the great fortune of training him for most of his career. He actually wrote the foreword to my first book, The Impact Body Plan, along with his longtime training partner, Drew Brees. Fitness professionals and young kids often ask me the same questions. How did you first start working with professional athletes? Who was your first pro athlete? Who were some of your favorite pro athletes you've ever worked with, and why? 3 questions, 1 answer. LaDainian Tomlinson. I first met LaDainian when I was a sports massage therapist with the San Diego Chargers back in 2002. He came up to me at the end of the season and said, "I understand you do some different type of training, some functional training. I'd like to call you when the season is over." It was January 2003. And the phone rang. A Monday morning, and the Chargers season had just ended the day before. It was LaDainian Tomlinson, and he said he wanted to start training ASAP. He said he was hungry to get started. He told me he wanted to be one of the best to ever play the game. He told me he was willing to do whatever it took to live up to his heroes, Walter Payton, Emmett Smith, and Barry Sanders. We scheduled a session for the next day. Man, I remember being so nervous before that session. He was the big star running back in town. He was adored by all San Diego fans. He was often hailed as the future savior of Charger football and the one who would return them back to the promised land. I don't think I slept that night. I was still a young trainer, just shy of 32 years old. I was always an athlete myself and worked with a lot of athletes, but I had never trained someone of quite the same stature as LaDainian Tomlinson. I remember driving over early that morning for our 8 a.m. session and feeling so sick to my stomach. I really thought I was going to puke. I was so nervous. Everything changed when he walked into Fitness Quest 10. For those of you who have ever seen LT smile, you know he has a million-dollar smile. He looked so happy to be there and was over-the-top friendly and grateful. My tension eased, but I was still nervous as heck on the inside. At the time, Fitness Quest 10 was just about 2,000 square feet. Nothing fancy, nothing elaborate, just a lot of passion and energy. And I was really excited. That was like a dream come true for me. I founded my company to work with all people under one roof. Athletes, kids, older adults, overweight people, out-of-shape folks, and people who are injured. This January day in 2003 marked a special day in history. The test. One of the things I did with LaDainian after warming him up was a one-legged balance tusk test. 60 seconds on the right, 60 seconds on the left. Compare the sides and see what comes about. LaDainian's results? 32 touches on one side, 23 on the other. And on the weaker side, he was bouncing around on one leg like a flamingo. A light bulb went off. As I pointed out the imbalances in his hips and with his balance, it all of a sudden just clicked. And for 9 straight years, we forged a relationship that was truly special. Here are 21 memories, traits, and stories I love to share about working with number 21 for over 9 years. Number 1, hard work. It has to be number 1. There are hard workers, and then there are hard workers. I don't know if I will ever have the chance to work with anyone quite like LT again. He never missed a session. I don't even know if he was even late for a session. And when he was training, the pace was furious. It's no mistake why he was great. Hard work. Number 2, play like a scared rabbit. I remember once asking LT what he thought about when he was running the ball. He responded, "I like to play like a scared rabbit. Have you ever seen a scared rabbit get caught? That's the way I like to play." Number 3, LT was a throwback. Walter Payton, Emmett Smith, and Barry Sanders were his guys. He emulated them. He watched tape on them. He wanted to train like them. Heck, he even built a hill in his backyard to train on, just like the legendary hill Walter Payton used to run on. LT had the heart of a lion, the work ethic of a mule, the body of a thoroughbred, and the humility of a young boy still working to make the varsity team. Number 4. The Rocky IV soundtrack. For years and years, we listened to that music. Something about hanging off the rafters, pushing past barriers, and the desire to be a champion. That music epitomizes LaDainian Tomlinson. And every time it's played in the gym now, I can't help but think of number 21. Number 5, always trying to learn. Whether it was training or in bodywork, he always wanted to know how it was going to help him. And if it made sense to him, he would never question why we were doing something. Ever. 6, trust. LT and I built a unique relationship. In the foreword to my Impact book, he likened our relationship to that of a boxer and his trainer. To me, it was more like that of a prized fighter. LaDainian trusted my judgment and programming. More importantly, he trusted me as a human being. Number 7, NFL Walter Payton, Man of the Year. In 2006, LaDainian earned the NFL's Man of the Year. This is voted upon for off-the-field work as much as on-the-field contribution. That year, LT won the award, and his training partner of 3 years at the time, Drew Brees, was his co-recipient. Of all accolades, I know the Man of the Year meant the world to LaDainian. 8, LT Magic, 2006. It truly was a magical year. The year LT broke the NFL record for all-time touchdowns in a season, 31. The year he won the NFL League MVP. I remember being at the stadium that late December day, and the crowd was chanting, LT, 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 MVP, MVP, MVP. I remember thinking to myself, if I could only just bottle this up and capture it forever. It seemed like all his hard work had paid off and he was at the prime of his career. I remember getting watery-eyed listening to the crowd chant. In some ways, I felt like a proud father. In some ways, I felt like his trainer. And in some ways, I just felt like every other one of the 70,000 fans in attendance appreciating the moment. What a memory. Number 9, whatever it takes, wit. I've already talked about LT's work ethic. He did not miss training days. In the prime of his career, he had a lot of commercials, appearances, interviews, and commitments. Training came first. If that meant he had to train at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, he would do it. Wit, whatever it takes. Number 10, the headband. Man, so often he would wear that old school headband when he worked out. And watch out when he did. That meant he was going into turbo mode wearing that headband. There was something special seeing LT wear that thing. Number 11. Very few really liked working out with LT. It's because they couldn't hang. He trained at an extremely high intensity pace. There were only a few who consistently trained with him over the 9 years I trained LT who could actually hang. Breeze, Justin Peel, Darren Sproles, and a smattering of guys along the way. LaDainian would invite guys in to work out with him, but they would only last about 20 minutes at his pace. And then they would request a different time slot the next time. Number 12, a great leader. He always brought out the best in his workout partners. Having LaDainian and Drew work out together from 2003 to 2009, that's when LT moved to the Jets, was something else. We had some classic battles, but when either of those two was in a workout, he always brought out the best in others. Number 13, the day LT buried Reggie Bush. Man, poor old Reggie was just in college, and Reggie looked up to LaDainian, so LaDainian brought him in for a workout. I remember vividly telling Reggie, go slower today than you think you can or you should. You do not need to try and keep up with the all-pro. Well, I knew my words probably weren't going to go very far, and they didn't. Reggie was out in the front deck within 20 minutes of training, letting out his breakfast. He hopped back into the workout, but instantly knew what he was in for every time he trained with LT. Number 14, 15 feet by 15 feet. That's about the size of the sacred space that LT and I trained in about 80% of the time. Core work, balance work, plyos, push-ups, pull-ups. We didn't do a lot of weights. We used a lot of bands, cords, medicine balls, dumbbells, and Swiss balls in the weight room. On the field, we did a lot of agility and speed work. Ladders, cone drills, bungee cord drills for assisted or resisted speed. It was all about trying to make him foundationally strong from feet to fingertips, keeping him balanced from left to right, and trying to activate as many fast switch fibers as possible. It worked. Number 15, Fridays with LT. While I trained LT for many years, I also did some bodywork sports massage on him on Friday afternoons before all games. I would do a combination of rolfing, structural work, soft tissue work, and stretching. I'd load him up with some arnica and work on his mindset a bit. It was a tradition we had for many years. Number 16, the body is a temple. I reflect back on all that LaDainian did to keep his body in great shape. We trained practically every day in the off season. Training sessions, speed sessions, and body work. He had his own chef. He got acupuncture. He did ART. He did it all. You name it, he probably did it. And he always did it the right way. Hard work, dedication, discipline, commitment, and the desire to be the best. Number 17, human being. LT is one of the finest human beings you will ever meet. He cared for people. He would ask about the people he trained next to. He would ask about the kids who asked for his autograph. He would ask about staff members. He was a bona fide NFL superstar who made everyone feel special. LaDainian is an extremely genuine guy who has taken his blessings and talents as a player and a human being and made the most of them. He continues to give back and make a positive difference in the community. Number 18, words do mean a lot. In 2004, I was fortunate to earn Trainer of the Year by IDEA, the world's largest continuing education provider for fitness professionals. In front of a couple thousand people, I was recognized with this distinction. It truly was an award that helped catapult my own career. What made it even more special was that LaDainian had taped a 3-minute video message they played in front of everyone, and he said some really amazing things. That memory will last a lifetime. Number 19. I knew him when it was just LT and his wife, LaTorsha. Man, they are like two peas in a pod. She would pull up in her purple Range Rover and would sometimes even train with LaDainian. Let me tell you what, that woman has some genes. Former track and basketball standout. She may even have had faster feet than LT, if you can believe it. She loved to box. She loved to compete, just like her husband. Number 20. Why the Jets? When the writing was on the wall that he was going to be leaving San Diego, he really had two teams he was interested in, Minnesota and New York. The Vikings had Brett Favre and offered more money. The Jets had Rex Ryan. LaDainian chose the Jets. When I asked him why, he told me and his training partners that day, "When I showed up in New York, they had all this Jets baby stuff for my son Daylen. Baby Jets helmets, baby clothes. It was a done deal. I want my son to see me play someday." The funny thing was that his son was still a few months from being born. That's the real reason he chose the Jets. Yup, Rex Ryan, you are one smart dude. You went after LaDainian and LaTorsha's soft side, and it worked. Number 21, impact. I'm not going to go on about all the records LT has broken and the illustrious career he built. It was not merely a coincidence that all this has happened. He worked his butt off, tapped his full potential, and always stayed hungry. He has positively impacted millions of kids and fans through the game of football, and he has always respected what football has provided. Next stop, Canton. LT, thank you. As a coach, a trainer, a proud parent of three kids now myself, and even a fan, I love you, brother. You truly were once in a lifetime. Thanks for everything you have always done. I'll never forget our first day of training when you told me, "I want to be one of the best to ever play the game." Action step. Out of the 21 traits that made LaDainian great, which one most resonates with you? How can you apply this in your life? Wow, number 22, choices. In life, we really are a product of our choices. We make choices every day that suggest our ultimate fate. I was at dinner with some friends one night, and we were deep in discussion about choices in life, with family, relationships, and even business. I told them about the time back in 2007, when in the midst of an extremely chaotic 5,000-square-foot expansion of Fitness Quest 10, I chose to attend a $3,000 three-day workshop by Ali Brown on list building. Money was a bit tight at this time because of the massive expansion. Time was at a premium, and it was at the height of trying to wrap up the expansion and open the new center. The timing just wasn't good for many reasons. But I chose to attend the workshop. And that workshop was the impetus that changed my online business. That was just one choice that worked out extremely well. A while back, Major League Baseball pitcher and client Chris Young spoke at my son Luke's swim banquet. His entire speech to the young boys and girls was on choices we make in life and how every choice has a consequence. Smoking, drinking, doing your homework, who you hang out with, exercising. It was an awesome talk by someone who exemplifies a model athlete and citizen. Chris is a Princeton graduate who played over 15 years in the big leagues. Think about the choices that you make every day. Some small, some big. How should I spend my off hour? How should I spend my money on buying? Should I invest my money in? Should I attend that party? Should I have a drink or two or three or more tonight? Should I drive after having only two drinks? Should I text while driving or while at a stoplight? What should I eat for my next meal? Am I going to work out today? Do I need to give up the nicotine habit or the caffeine habit? Should I study for that test? Should I attend that conference? Should I go to the retreat? Should I open my business? Should I get involved in this MLM? Should I write my book? How can I best leverage my talents and skills? Should I hire that person? Should I fire that person? Should I write that blog article? Should I plan out my social media post for the week? Should I read that book? Should I go on that vacation? How do I best spend my time to maximize my ROI? Choices, choices, choices. Again, some of these choices are small, some are big, but all of them have consequences. And some of the consequences can lead to great things, and some can lead to extremely detrimental things. Recently, I was speaking to my kids about the topic of choices. We were talking about homework and how every time you do homework, you need to make the choice to do it the right way. Slowly, taking your time, putting your signature of approval on it. I also talked about how the discipline of doing homework the right way over time ultimately allows you to do well in school. And doing well in school allows you to ultimately go to a good college or a great one. But it comes down to the choices that you make every single day. And when making choices, you have to listen to both your head and your gut. Sometimes your head says yes, but your gut says no. And sometimes your head says no, but your gut says yes. I believe it's important to listen to a bit of both your head and your gut when making big decisions. I can only say that sometimes I listen to my gut more than my head. Remember wow number 5, guts? I like going by feel and instinct, but that gut always coincides with my finding out the facts also. So it's a bit of a balancing act. If I would have listened to just my head back in 2007 when attending the workshop on list building, I would not have attended, and I'm so glad I did. Make a choice today and then do it. You never know how small choices can make such a big difference. It's time to choose. Your action step today, what choices can you make today that will help propel you forward professionally or personally? Maybe it is choosing to do something. Maybe it's choosing to eliminate something. Either way, it involves a choice. What do you choose to do? Wow, number 23, fail forward. Some of the most successful people in the world of all time were failures. Well, I should say they failed many times, and they continued to get back up each time, dust themselves off, and keep going. Here are just a few of the ultra-successful people that sustained major losses or failures along the way. Abe Lincoln, Thomas Edison, Oprah Winfrey, Helen Keller, Michael Jordan, Steve Jobs, Arianna Huffington, Bill Gates, Jay-Z, Richard Branson, Walt Disney, J.K. Rowling, and Stephen King. The list goes on and on and on. So how do you overcome failure and get back on the success train? Here are 6 ways. Number 1, you learn as much as you possibly can. You continually invest in yourself, in professional development, in personal development, in developing your spiritual self. I often say to my Fitness Quest 10 teammates and fellow trainers and coach colleagues, you can only take a client on a journey as far as you've taken yourself. So what are you doing to deepen your personal and professional journey? Number 2, you have mantras. Like the mantras I had when driving up Pomerado Road when opening Fitness Quest 10 in year 2000. In the beginning days of my business, I would repeat, I will not fail, I will not fail, I will not fail, over and over again while driving into the parking lot. While today I would recommend a mantra that's a bit more positive, my 29-year-old mindset at the time was still very much in competitive mode. Today, my mantra would be, win the day. Win the day, win the day. What are your mantras? What keeps you motivated? What keeps your mind right? Number 3, you do it and do it and do it. Thank you, Art Williams. As former A.L. Williams and associate CEO Art Williams shared in legendary talk entitled Just Do It, you must have the mindset of doing it, regardless of the situation or circumstance. No excuses. Find a way to get the job done and don't stop until you accomplish what you set out to accomplish. Number 4, you find people that are creating wow and mimic them. Imitation is the finest form of flattery. People that are creating wow are winners. People have a tough time taking their eyes off them. Find who is performing well in your business or industry and adhere to their same principles. Number 5. You remember the 7 F's. My good friend and mentor, Wayne Cotton, taught me many lessons as a young businessman and entrepreneur. One is that problems create beneficial rearrangements. We're all going to have obstacles, challenges, and issues that we're going to face. No one likes problems, but we can all learn from them. And one of the most powerful things that any human being has ever said to me is when Wayne advised, fear, frustration, and failure are all overcome by faith, focus, forward motion, and follow through. When my business was in its infancy in the early 2000s, I was facing growing pains and trying to overcome the challenges of growing a team and a startup business. During that time, Wayne's words were pivotal in reminding me where and how to maintain focus. Heck, even today, 16 years later, this quote serves me well as I now lead a team of over 40 people and serve thousands of clients annually. Number 6, you always do your best and you never give up. Like all the aforementioned folks who failed miserably countless times over, you must be willing to put your successes and failures on the line. Remember this, it's in the tough times that your beliefs will most be challenged. For me, it was during my toughest times that my faith and confidence were rattled. My dad's death, my back pain, Ken Sawyer's death. The bottom line is that you dig deep, you keep fighting, you do your best, and you never give up. And so it is with you. Adhere to these 6 principles and watch your belief and success soar like an eagle. It is said that you must get comfortable being uncomfortable. Where can you demonstrate more risk, faith, and even failure in your life? After all, success is found in taking great steps forward, and that sometimes requires you even to fail forward. Action step. Where can you risk greater in your life? What action steps can you take now to allow you to step outside of your comfort zone? And a wow note, if you would like more information on Wayne Cotton's 7 F's, I have supplied you with a special 2-page report from Wayne on exactly how you can live with more focus, faith, forward motion, and follow through. Simply go to todderkin.com/wowbook-Wayne Cotton. Wow number 24, a dog's life. My wife Melanie and I had our first child in 1998. Well, not really, but that's when Sid came into our lives. He was just 8 weeks old, and he was the cutest golden fluff of golden retriever you could ever imagine. Since we had no kids at the time, he really was like an only child. We had so many great memories with him. Trips to the beach, trips to the mountains and snow, him hanging out at Fitness Quest 10 when we first opened in year 2000, Sid meeting his 3 younger brothers and sister when they were born into the world, Luke, Brady, and McKenna. Sid lived to be 15 years old, and he helped create many fond memories and offered us a ton of love. I've often joked that he was the glue that kept our family together when we were stressed from having kids, a growing business, and a busy lifestyle. While that's not completely true, Sid sure was special to us. When he passed in year 2013, someone sent us a sympathy card with a special quote about lessons we can learn from dogs that just made me smile. And this is what it said. Dogs. When loved ones come home, you can always run to greet them. You never pass up the opportunity to go for a joyride. You allow the experience of fresh air and the wind in your face to be pure ecstasy. You take naps. You stretch before rising. You run, romp, and play daily. You thrive on attention and let people touch you. You avoid biting when a simple growl will do. On warm days, you stop to lie on your back on the grass. On hot days, you drink lots of water and lie under a shady tree. When you're happy, you dance around and wag your entire body. You delight in the simple joy of a long walk. You are loyal. You never pretend to be something you're not. If what you want lies buried, you dig until you find it. And when someone is having a bad day, you are silent, sit close by, and nuzzle them gently. Thanks for all the lessons, Sid. You will be forever in our hearts. Action step. choose at least one of these lessons that dogs teach us and write it down, and then apply it this week. Wow number 25, breathe. When was the last time you stopped and thought about your breath? Seriously. And have you ever thought just how important breath is to performance? In sport, in work, in theater, in all aspects of life. I was teaching a workshop to several hundred trainers one weekend, and afterwards an attendee asked a great question. Since I had mentioned breath briefly in my talk, she asked, "How do you specifically address breath in a session? Or are there exercises you can do to help this? And why should you do it?" In my lecture, I talked about how the core of the human body worked in conjunction with the diaphragm and how the diaphragm controls the breath. And I shared that the average person breathes 18,000 to 22,000 times a day. And then I asked, when was the last time you ever stopped and gave thanks for breath? When was the last time you even addressed your own breath? First off, breath work is important for everyone. I shared that the average person breathes 18,000 to 22,000 times a day. And that same person often fails to ever stop and think about breath, acknowledge breath, or even work on breath. As a matter of fact, the only time you often think about breath is when you're out of breath. Therefore, the first thing I encourage is awareness. Just be aware of your breath. You can take a few minutes early in the morning to listen to yourself breathe. Breath represents life. Give thanks. Breathe. Meditate. Pray.